Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, Minister of Choctaw, Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the Choctaw, and Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 25, 2016. That is the 21st day of the fourth month, 2020. We will start our second service on the seventh day Sabbath with a song entitled, I Found a Friend, Oh, Such a Friend. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the course of love, and thus he bound me to him. And from my heart still closely torn, those ties which can't be severed. For I am his and he is mine, forever and forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He bled, he died to save me. And not alone the gift of life, but his own self he gave me. Not that I have my own, I call, I hold it for the giver. My heart, my strength, my life, my all are his and his forever. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and true and tender. Fellow wise, a counselor and God, so mighty a defender. From him whose love needs now so well, what power my soul can sever. Shall life or death, shall earth or hell, though I am his forever. War News Forecast Part 5. This is the end of it. It says we're going to go into our next study. Our next part of the study will be taken from Time of Greeting, Volume 1, Number 5. And that which shall be in the last days, that's what we're wrapping up here, what's going on in the last days. And so our prayer thought, though, now we're going to jump to our prayer thought. It's going to be taken from Joel Chapter 2. It says, start with verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound the horn in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahshua cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain. A great people and a strong there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as the strong people sit in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like the mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways. They shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they shall fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. For the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Yahweh shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his work. For the day of Yahshua is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Yahweh, turn ye even unto me, with all your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Yahweh your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Yahweh your Elohim? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and ministers of the Yahweh wait between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their Elohim? Then will the Yahweh be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Yahweh will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hind part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savour shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Yahweh will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain that the former rain. He will cause you to come down the rain, and the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. That should read like this. For he will cause to come down for you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Just left that first rain out of it, and that's just redundancy there. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I set among you. And you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of Yahweh your Elohim, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Yahweh your Elohim and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the dread, terrible day of the Yahweh come. But we've had four blood moons in 2015, 2016. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahshua shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Yerushalayim shall be delivered, as the Yahshua has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. There's only three places that you can get deliverance in this day. In that day, that's talking about the day of the Yahweh, for in Mount Zion, and the church, the house of David, Judah, the lawgiver, for that's where Yahshua dwells, with the antipical David, sitting upon the throne of David. It says, Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and in the Yerushalayim shall be delivered, as the Yahshua hath said, and also in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. So there's going to be three places to be saved. Mount Zion, the house of David. Okay, and it says, and in Jerusalem, at the temple, and the remnant, the 144,000. Okay. That's pretty much takes care of our prayer thought. Actually, let's add Joel chapter 3 to our prayer thought. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Now keep in mind that whenever he brings again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, he's talking about the remnant of the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, Judah. Okay. I will also gather all nations. Not only, but when he brings the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, the 12 tribes, 144,000, because they're in captivity under the Assyrian yoke in the Adventist church, he said, I will also, in addition to that, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. So all those nations that have parted his land and scattered his people throughout all the nations, he's going to bring them down. He's going to bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. And he's going to plead with them. He's going to talk to them there. He's going to give them a chance to repent and to release their captives. He's going to give them a chance to all nations to return unto him and to release his captives and to set them free. And in verse 3, and they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink, yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon? Okay, what have you to do? It says, and all the coast of Palestine. Okay, meaning all the coast of Israel now. That's really what Palestine means. All the coast of Palestine, because called the Palestine because that's where the Palestinians, the Ishmaelites, have taken over the coast of Israel, turn it into a name of Palestine. Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. So those Palestinians, the Ishmaelites, they have, half-brother to the Hebrew Israelites, have taken and come into Israel's land, Isaac's and Jacob's land, and they have stolen their gold and silver and their oil and everything else. They've taken it back to their temples. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem, which is the capital of Judah, have you sold unto the Grecians, which are Arabs, Muslims, that you might remove them far from their border? So you went and sold them to the next door neighbor, and you said, now take these and get them out of here, and take them to your country and get them away from my border. Behold, I will raise them up out of the place where you have sold them. I'm going to raise them up out of Turkey and out of Greece and all those places where you sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. In other words, you come into their land, you've taken their land, you sold them out of their own land into another land. I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to bring them back into their land, and I'm going to return the recompense upon your own head, and you're going to get out of there, and you're going to go to those lands that you sold to be the oppressors of my people. Now they're going to be your oppressors. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, okay, all of a sudden now Judah's in charge, house of David, lawgiver, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans. Okay, who are the Sabaeans? They're the heathen neighbors to Israel. Unto a people far off, for the Yahweh has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty man. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. That's what's happened right now. Beat your plowshares into swords. That's what's happening right now. We have nations now have found out that they've got an option that they can hold a referendum vote in their country, and they can withdraw from the Union, the British Islands can withdraw from the Euro Union, and they did this just 2-3 days ago. They had a referendum and they withdrew from the Union. Just that simple. And so, but what are they going to have to do? Because, see, they don't have any guns. But yet, they're sitting there now vulnerable because the Union wouldn't allow them to have guns to protect themselves. But now, what are they going to do? Now that they're independent and they have pulled off from the Union by their own choice, now they're going to have to take, instead of going back to farming right now, they're going to have to beat their plowshares into swords and go to war now to defend their independent sovereignty that they had just gotten. This is the way it's going to turn out. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now these poor people that have been disarmed by their leaders in their countries, all of a sudden now they have acquired arms. They've got something to protect themselves with now. They said, now we're not weak anymore. We're strong now because we've got something to fight with. Before, our enemies disarmed us, our leaders disarmed us and made us completely defenseless at their mercy, and then they enslaved us and took away all of our freedoms and rights, even to own guns to protect our own self, even from the wild beast. We can't even protect ourselves from a wild beast because they won't let us have any way to do it. But now that we are free, now we can make our own implements of war, and we can defend ourselves now. We can be sovereign. Assemble yourselves, and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Fear the cause of our mighty ones to come down, O Yahweh. Let the heathen be wakened and come up unto the valley of Jehoshaphat. Well, the heathen are being wakened right now. I guarantee they had the biggest wake-up call in Europe. June the 23rd, they had the biggest wake-up call when they had that referendum vote, and the British chose to pull out of the Euro Union. It says, It shook all the stock markets, went into a nosedive around the world. Said 400 billionaires lost $127 billion within 3 hours. Said they had hedged their bets because they got inside information that the vote was going to go the other direction, which would have made them billions of dollars profit. But since it reversed in the middle of the stream and without them knowing it was going to happen, they lost billions of dollars. They were just cheating again. They were being crooked bunch of people. And they ended up losing $127 billion, just wiped off the page. Let the heathen be wakened, come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down, for the press is full. The fast overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Yeshua also shall roar out of Zion. And under his voice, and utter his voice from the Yerushalayim, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Yahweh will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Okay, so for, because it says the Yahshua will dwell in Zion. So shall you know that I am the Yahshua, your Savior, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Yerushalayim be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Yeshua, and shall water the valley of Shittim. What is this fountain shall come forth of the house of the... It's the, actually the house of David, of Yeshua too. This is that fountain for sin and cleanness in Zechariah 13. This is that fountain that is of Ezekiel's river, 47, that starts in the sanctuary. Egypt shall be a desolation. Alright. And Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. That's the Seventh-day Adventist church, is Edom, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Yerushalayim from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahshua dwelleth in Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the 12th hour, at Liberty Hill, Texas. Okay. That ends our prayer thought. Very informative. Let's go to Amos chapter 1, right next door to Joel chapter 3. Let's read the first, let's read the whole chapter. The words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, the Yahweh will roar from Zion. Now, what I just got through reading here, it says, right across the page, it talks about actually, this is the Yahshua. Amos, he thought that Yahshua will roar from Zion, and utter his voice from Yerushalayim, and the habitation of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Oh boy, this is a Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. This prophecy met its fulfillment in 1955 when V.T. Hallock died, the leader of the Shepherd Rod, the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, at Mount Carmel in Waco, Texas. For he was led there providentially by the Spirit in 1934, B.T. Hollis, to sit up Mount Carmel. He was led to a hill outside of Waco, Texas, there in the city limits, but on top of a hill overlooking a huge lake. And the Holy Spirit told him to name that Mount Carmel. And he did. And so here it is. Then he found this in prophecy after he did that. He found all this information in prophecy. Now, isn't this amazing that Joel, he has given this prophecy here in Joel 3:16, where it says, Yahshua also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Yerushalayim, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Yahshua will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. And then over here in Amos chapter 1, verse 2, it says virtually the same thing, but there's something in addition to what Joel had to offer. It says, and he said, the Yahshua will roar from Zion. Okay. Now it says from Zion, whereas Joel 3:16 said he will roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Yerushalayim, but it says here in Amos 1, 2, it said, Yahshua will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. So it's really the same, it has the same meaning. Out of Zion or from Zion has basically the same meaning. And the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn. Okay. But in Joel it says, the heavens and the earth shall shake. But here in Amos 1 and 2 it says, the habitations of the shepherds. In other words, the homes, the dwelling places of the Seventh-day Adventist ministers and their lying tongues, these false shepherds, shall mourn. And the top of Carmel shall wither. So that took place in 1955, and those shepherds were the Seventh-day Adventist ministers. Okay. Amos 1:3, thus saith the Yahshua, for three transgressions of Damascus, which is the capital of Syria, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead. Okay. So those Assyrians, Assyrian, have threshed Gilead. That's the third feeding pasture of Israel, with threshing instruments of iron. And I will send a fire into the house of Hazael. And who was Hazael? He was the king of Syria, which threshed Gilead, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus, that's the capital of Syria, and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avan, and him that holdeth the scepter, from the house of Eden. Okay, Eden then would be Israel. The scepter would be the rod that represents the lawgiver. And what does he say? He's going to him that holdeth the authority for the law, from the house of Eden, house of Israel, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Yahshua. Thus saith the Yahshua, for three transgressions of Gaza, okay, Gaza is a part of Israel, there on the Mediterranean Sea coast, right south of Jerusalem. And it said, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom, the house of Esau, which in our day would represent the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza. That's where the Palestinians, half-brother to Isaac, the Ishmaelites, have taken over Gaza. That's where they abide today, in the land of Israel. Gaza is Israel's land. It belongs to Israel. Which shall devour the palaces thereof. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. So the scepter means the rod, or the lawgiver. So he said, I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holdeth the scepter from Ashkelon. And I will turn my hand against Ekron. Who's Ekron? That's the same thing as Edom. That's the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. And the remnant of the Philistines shall perish. Who's the remnant of the Philistines? That is your Ishmaelites, saith the Yahweh Elohim. Thus saith the Yahweh, for three transgressions of Taurus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole captivity of Edom. Okay, now who is the captivity of Edom? The 144,000 a day would be the whole captivity of Edom, the Adventist Church, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. They didn't remember the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Taurus, which shall devour the palaces thereof. Thus saith the Yahweh, for three transgressions of Edom, Seventh-day Adventist Church, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother, Jacob, Esau, Adventist, Jacob, Davidian, Adventist, with the sword, and did cast off all pity. And his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah. Now, where's the palace of Bozrah? Those are the headquarters of the Adventist Church today. Bozrah is where Yahshua tread the winepress and got the 144,000 and stained his garments with blood. You'll read that in Isaiah about 60, 61, 62, and 63. That's at Yahshua. But three transgressions of the children of Ammon, that's the descendants of Lot, the nephew of Abraham, a Hebrew. And for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead. For they have attacked the women, the Hebrew Israelites of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. In other words, they come and destroyed the women of Gilead, so that they could enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour the palaces thereof, with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into captivity, he and his princes, together, saith the Yahshua. Okay. Well, we could go on and on with this. Amos, let's close that off for right now for our prayer thought, and let's go into our main study and finish it up with Warnley's forecast. We're on page 46, and we just lock a few pages. Then we're going to go into Time of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 5, and finish up, hopefully. From the glorious supply house from which Emmanuel received butter and honey, long ago, the Spirit of the Truth is herewith seen ladling out its soul-nourishing food, more lavishly than ever before. May everyone who so freely receives not only lift his heart in thanks unto the great giver of all good gifts, the Father of lights, but also freely give his best efforts to cooperate with the Comforter who has come by freely, given to all who ask, finally, to create greater appetite for more butter and honey. Lest we fail to recognize the latter rain as it falls in the great drops all around us for the final harvest. Testimonies, Ministers 507. Or, in other words, for the implementing of a thorough study of this all-important revelation, for the publishers of this booklet will present a gift set of the present truth publication for everyone who submits an idea, correct or incorrect, as to which one of the nations is the Assyria of today. Well, if that be the question asked about 70 some years ago, what is the answer today? Well, the answer today is the Adventist and the religious end of it is the Assyria nation. She didn't want to be called Israel anymore. She didn't like that name. So she betrayed her trust that she was given the first birthright privilege to be in charge of the house of Israel. She didn't like that name. She didn't want to do that. So she got the name Assyria. And then she put a yoke around her people that didn't have any choice because they ruled over them. So it says, as to which one of the nations is the Assyria today, and who he is that dashes in pieces. Okay, now the one that dashes in pieces in the Adventist Church is this antipathetic Elijah David. The one that dashes in pieces the civil government of Assyria is Donald J. Trump. He dashes in pieces all the nations that are made a covenant to war against Israel. Because he made a covenant to defend Israel and to help build her back up to her original life he has promised to do for America. Also, as to when the clash of these two mortal enemies takes place, the Cid is composed of a series of 13 books aggregating 1,000 pages containing many long-sealed prophetic mysteries now unfolded the strong meat. Those who already have this 13-piece set may, upon request, receive free of charge a valuable new 3-piece companion set of special present truth publications. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. 722. So now, the time for the fulfillment of this, what I just read about, is 2017. It is going through the fulfillment now, starting in 2016. It will culminate, no doubt, by the year 2018, the 70th year of the birth of Israel, from 1948 to 1978, the 70th year, this prophecy will be the culmination, fulfillment. Now that the heavenly watchman has done his part, there remains for those addressed to do theirs, assume their personal responsibility. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if thy people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he saith the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman sees the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person, take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee as a watchman unto the house of Israel. So, antitypical Elijah is set as a watchman to the whole house of Israel, both the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. And I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou durst not speak to warn the wicked from his way, thou wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel 33:2-9. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Yeshua Messiah, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his away and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say unto the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust unto his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of the sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Ezekiel 33:11-16. To you who take heed to this timely warning will come this glorious reward. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Yahweh shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst of it, by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning, and the Yahshua will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day, and a shining of a flame and fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shelter in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain. Isaiah 4:3-6. But to you who do not take heed to this warning, thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. Isaiah 3:25. Okay. So, that pretty much takes care of the main thought on this, but let's go ahead and read about a few of the facts here that at the end of this booklet. Time and chance solve mystery. Subject: Nahum's war prophecy. Time and chance are still the most trustworthy witnesses, as well as the best disclosures of the mystery. They now give the answers to the question: which one of the nations is Assyria of today? Who is he that dashes in pieces? When does the clash of these two mortal enemies take place? 47, page 47. Now, the answer to this today would be Donald Trump and Obama. They are two mortal enemies vying for the rulership and to stay in charge of the, not only the ruler of the United States, but of the whole world. To rule the United States as president puts the president in position to be the ruler of the whole world once the mark of the beast goes in. And that's what this here two belligerents are. Donald Trump is the aggressor, he's the challenger, and Obama is the defender of this new world order that he's so desperately trying to get in operation. Obama. So these are two mortal enemies. Who is he that dashes in pieces? It will be Donald Trump. Okay. Now, that considerable time has passed since this track came off the press 4 years, and since many important events have shaped themselves unto maturity since then, our readers of Advancing Truth are doubtless now in a more favorable position to see the truth even more clearly and more realistically than before. Hence, for the benefit of all, we are adding these paragraphs. They express the track's view on the subject as time and events are now able to exhibit. The trend of World War II leaves no doubt that it is the one foretold by the prophet Nahum. This is made manifest by the several facts. Inspiration makes clear that the Nahum's war is fought in the time that the chariots rage in the streets, while they jostle one against another in the broadways, while they seem like torches and run like lightning. In our day, Nahum 2:4, the prophet moreover states that after the one that dashes in pieces, Nahum 2:1, comes up before Assyria's face, then it is that Assyria makes her loins strong, fortifies her power. Now this is Obama, he's the king of Assyria here, mightily, Nahum 2:1, which, as the whole world knows, is just what took place when Hitler came against the Allies. The Allies being unprepared to fight Hitler when he started dashing in pieces, they necessarily fortified their power mightily after the war began. All of these facts prove that World War II is the war prophesied by Nahum, and that Hitler is the one that dashes in pieces. Okay, so now we have a new one here. If Hitler is the one that dashes in pieces in the tide, then the antitypical Hitler then would be Obama, the king of Assyria. Even though Donald Trump has emerged as the latest challenger, the last challenger, the antitypical King Cyrus, and he will no doubt triumph over this king of Assyria. So we have to progress as the light opens up on this. Sometimes we have to make adjustments on what we've previously taught. Though Nahum predicts the fall of Assyria in connection with he that dashes in pieces. So, in this case, we have already established Obama as the king of Assyria. So he's the one that dashes in pieces. So what's he been dashing in pieces? All the nations of the world. Because all the policies that he passed here in the United States is a trickle-down effect to all the nations of the world. They're affected by it. It does not say that he that dashes in pieces is himself to finish off Assyria, as one would naturally be inclined to conclude. It is now seen, though, that he that dashes in pieces himself was only to break or cause to be broken in pieces not only the allied nations, but his own nation, too. Okay. In fact, the prophecy says that his worthies, the worthies of the one that dashes in pieces, this is a, those are Obama's worthies, were not to win, but that they were to stumble in their walk, stumble while on their march to victory. So Obama's trying to get all of his eight main programs validated and put into law, international law, before he goes out of office. And boy, you know what most of it is, that's that green thing that somebody had, outlawing fossil fuels and coal. And then also Obamacare, and also the Pacific Rim Trade Pact between 12 nations, trying to get that nailed down, taking away the jobs and the United States authority to be in control of their own trade. And then there's five others that go with those three that he is trying to implement and get in the place before he goes out of office. But he's already had a setback on the trade pact with the 12 nations when the British pulled out of the Euro Union at the 23rd of June. That nullified the trade pact. So Obama is stumbling in his walk. We're not to win. Okay, so what is that? The one that dashed in pieces were not to win, but that they were to stumble in their walk. Stumble while on their march to victory, Nahum 2:5. They got Hillary Clinton coming up, and she is, they're trying to just railroad her right on into the presidential office so that they can keep all of this evil that Obama and her has done to all the nations the last 8 years, keep it all hidden and secret and don't have to pay any consequences for it. But instead, all of their evil has been exposed now before the election. And now it's, they say that this is what's going to cause them to be defeated. And what happened in Hitler's armies? They stumbled while endeavoring to defeat Russia. After Nahum 2:5, there is no more mention of him that dashes in pieces. Now, what is the challenge again today? Obama, his number one enemy that he is trying to figure out a way to defeat is Russia, again today. Showing that he is out of the way. Add to this fact that the truth that the war has split the whole world, practically all nations and peoples, into opposing chips of all sizes, and we have solid anchors to the proof that World War II is Nahum's war, and that Hitler's the one who, inspiration and title, he that dashed in pieces. Indeed, he divided the nations and people so far no one has been able to weld them together. Furthermore, by the outcome of the war, England actually has not won. So here we have it again. British Commonwealth, the same thing as England, they're allied together. And we have come back full circle again. Yes, she has lost far beyond what she would have lost had she let Hitler have what he wanted in the first place. Only a part of Poland. I just read today where it says, since 2004 and 2007, the Euro Union has taken in Hungary, Romania, and Poland into their union, putting them under the beast, the communist thing again, just like they did in World War II. Then, too, the defeat of Japan and of Germany has by no means ended the war. Okay, it says, let's do that again. Then, too, the defeat of Japan and of Germany has by no means ended the war. It has only deepened the international deadly wound. Thus, the possibilities of fulfilling every phase of the truth contained in track number 14 are now brighter than before. As far as inspiration is concerned, World War II has not ended. No, because we got a repeat of this Russia again coming into the picture, and Obama being antitypical Hitler, that dashes in pieces, and as Hitler made his mistake by turning from sure defeat of England to try to go take on a stronger adversary, Russia, and then that's where he made his defeat. Well, that's what Obama. He is making a turn toward Russia to punish Russia for interfering in the Syrian war this last year. And Russia is much stronger now than Obama, is much stronger. And so Obama is going to stumble. He has always stumbled in his walk. So it says, this is in itself is evidence enough that the world now, during this period of international unrest, such as it has never before had unrest, that is caused by every existing element, is to give birth to something. As so far as we see it now, all the things of which we read in track number 12 and number 14 seem to be on the way to the quick fulfillment. Let's end our study with the track, Behold, I Make All Things New by the V.T. Harlot. This is track number 9. And we're going to go to the very back part of it. It says, a summary of the first and second fruits. We're on page 67 of the track. It says, when the time of the terrors, the children of the wicked one, Matthew 13:38, is come to its full, then will commence the harvest, and it will bring the end of this world. Verse 30 and 40. Taking place in the end of the world, its preforce is the gathering of the people by the Elijah's message. That's the message that we have today. This is the message that's going to gather the harvest of the world. The last heaven-sent proclamation of the gospel, which is preached first to the church, just before the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, Malachi 4:5, and then to all the world during that long-expected day. The message finding the net full upon its arrival and subsequently causing a division between those who accept it and those who reject it, it enables the angels to select the bad from among the good, Matthew 13:48. These good are the first fruits of the redeemed. Then follows the separation implicit in the call. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, Revelation 18:4. These called out ones are the second fruits. In the first instance, the bad are cast out from among the good that are caught in the net, the message reposing in the church, whereas in the second instance, only Elohim's faithful are called out from among the sinners in Babylon, there being no terrors among them. The tares and the wheat were commingled in the former instance because while men slept, says Yahweh, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Whereas the wheat is kept free from the tares in the latter instance, because, says Yahweh, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night, Isaiah 62:6. Babylon's dominion being symbolized by the scarlet colored beast, the beast upon which sits the woman, Revelation 17, the symbolization is therefore representative of an international religious political system. The religious aspect is symbolized by the woman, the civil aspect by the horns of the beast. In combination, a symbolical prediction of a worldwide system of church and state union. The beast alone, exclusive of the horn, represents, as do the beast of Daniel 7, the world's multitudes, for the subjects of the antitypical Babylon from among whom Elohim's people are called. This gathering constitutes the separation of the second fruits. From this, the truth is again seen that the first and the second fruits of the living, the ones gathered from within the church at the commencement of the great and dreadful day, and the other gathered out of the Babylon during that day, constitute the kingdom at its beginning and before the resurrection of the dead. The facts, moreover, that only the good from the net were kept and that only Elohim's people were called out of Babylon, hail the kingdom as the home of the righteous only. But this shall be the covenant, declares the Yahweh, concerning this glorious truth of the kingdom, that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yahweh. For they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31, 33, and 34. And they shall call them, exclaims Isaiah, the holy people, the redeemed of the Yeshua, Isaiah 62:12. And on highway there shall be there. He assures, and a way, and it shall be called the way of the holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein, Isaiah 35:8. When this gospel of the kingdom, this is Elijah's message, this revival reformation message, be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, Matthew 24:14, the work of the gospel shall end and probation shall close for every human being. So that's after 144,000 come forth, because they're the ones going to be commissioned, and they're a purified church without sin. They will be empowered then to go and go to all nations without any restraint, and together the remnant of their brethren from all over the world. And this brings the third of us to this hour. Contact us if you let us our call on us number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close now with a song. It will be worth it all when we get home. As upon this land for all the free, when her grace on earth is run, when no broken dreams no more are memory, it will be worth it all when we home. It will be worth it all just to see His face when He cleanses us for His own. Then 10 million years to sing amazing grace. It will be worth it all when we get home. There's no sad farewell. There's no tears standing by. There's no heartache Get home.